I'm going to tell you a few stories. All we have to do is listen.
Hello.
And welcome to another movie podcast, a show that asks if it'll take longer to break in and sue the stubborn horse or Mark Wahlberg's character in Mile 22. This is episode number 58. And when you watch that movie, the writer, you'll understand. Today with me today is someone named
Ralph.
That is on his phone. Thank you for that. Luke is with us here in spirit. In reality, too, but he's not mic'd up. Today's episode it will feature three movie reviews. One of them is Mile 22, starring that Wahlberg dude. Another one is an indie film that's out on VOD to rent or buy. It's The Rider. Not to write, but to ride a horse type of writer. And then we'll conclude our show. Actually, that might not be the order. I may put The Rider last. But we'll also do a review of The Happy Time Murders, which is out right now, starring Melissa McCarthy and that dude.
Missed opportunity to say Moitus. And I'll always say that.
Moitus. You can say it.
Right.
If you ever want to do the intro, by all means.
I was trying to, and then you cut me off.
Oh, I knew you weren't. You gave it a good pause.
No.
Oh, you want me to do it? Let you do it.
Too late.
Want to do it?
We're already halfway in this.
No, I can redo this whole
thing. No.
Is that it's okay. Magic.
I mean, I might come up with something quippier, but yeah, it's okay. Next time.
Right.
Next time.
Quippier. I thought of it just now on the couch. It's not like I think about it over days.
Yeah.
Avi. All right. This is insane. So what we typically do is we review three films in addition to giving our recent discoveries, which is stuff we've been watching in the interim between our shows. We also have our podcast website, otherpodcast.com. You can check that out for our bonus episodes, which is a monthly thing that we do. August is about to end. This month's bonus episode is First Reformed. Check it out, guys. I know it's not very well heard of. But 5 months ago, for those who donated, got this one. But those who didn't are getting it now, or got it already, I should say. It's already out. It's Red Sparrow, which we reviewed 5 months ago as the bonus. Lexi, help me with that. And because you fuckers, you know, don't want to see it.
No, I was not interested at all in the movie.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
I know.
So check that out for all that jazz. Next time, I promise we will get into our marathon talk and choosing the next one when I can get all three of the boys here together. Typically, it's three people on the show, in case it's the first time you're listening. I always keep forgetting that it's someone's first time sometimes. All right, so without further ado, let's get into recent discoveries. Ralph, you have seen three films, all theatrical. Actually, no, two theatrical, one not. Like in theaters right now.
I know so, what you meant.
Yeah. Why don't you give me a quizzical look?
I'm just trying to debate which one was the not one.
Yeah. Rampage.
Yeah. No. I saw Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation. I went with my son, even though he saw it already. He was feeling a little down, and I needed to take him to the movies.
So
he's seen it already. Twice.
Okay.
He won my wife once.
Okay.
This is my first time watching it, though, or else I would have mentioned it before. Yeah, there's this whole thing about dating in the movie and thingamajig and falling for someone. You're only allowed to have one love or something like that. So it's kind of weird. Count Dracula falling in love kind of scenario. I mean, it's nothing special, to be brutally honest with you.
Okay.
I'm sure if I had the opportunity to fall asleep during this movie, I would have fallen asleep during the movie.
Meaning if you didn't have a kid to watch over?
Exactly.
Okay.
Other than that, I did have... some shit was fun in the movie overall. Like, some stuff was funny. But it was just, you know, summer movie.
I vaguely remember the first one.
Like, I like Hotel Transylvania, the first one.
The second one
wasn't horrendous. But this one is, you know... Meh. It just, at least it does. The only good thing is the movie still is instilling, you know, some good behaviors, I guess.
Monogamism?
Sort of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like how to take a cruise?
Yeah, I guess
is
so.
Any of that?
It's more like family stuff, but yeah.
I hear you. Yeah. I figured it by the trailer.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, other than that, like I said, nothing great, nothing fantastic. I'm sure it made a boatload of money because it's a...
Well, there are some parents out there listening, I'm sure, because, you know, all of us either come from them or are parents. Would you give it as a recommendation for someone's kid?
Like I said, overall, if your kids have, like, anything with monsters, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just one of those things because it's all about monsters. It's not just about Count Dracula, even though he's the main guy. It's all about that. It's like the whole monster world. There's nothing special that goes on besides this relationship of falling in love with a lineage person of Van Helsing. That's literally the plot of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then them hooking up, obviously, because it's like, sorry, guys, it's just obvious what happens.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's literally the gist of the movie. So, and there's everything in between. So this one has more to do with just the relationship in itself and him having to struggle with, like, I want my family, but I want to have time with my family, but I should have time for myself kind of thing also. Think of an adult scenario thing. Like, adults would relate to that with that. Okay. But at the same time, you know, kids understand that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, kids can see that. So, yeah, there's some cool stuff, but overall, there's nothing crazy like in the other two movies that were more monster-themed, I guess.
Okay.
So, yeah, I could recommend it. I would recommend it more if you've seen the other two, just to get it out of the way. You already know the franchise. You already know the characters.
Yeah.
No, because then it doesn't have to delve into, like, explaining into anything. You already know who these guys are.
Yeah. The only thing I remember from the first one is that the daughter is estranged, right? From the
daughter's estranged, exactly.
Yeah, but not anymore, obviously, because right. it's two movies.
And she's getting married or something, too,
okay.
If I'm correct.
Okay.
Unless if I'm mixing up one and two.
No, sure. No, I don't know.
So, yeah, there's that.
Okay.
And then, other than that, I guess it's the first movie. If you want to take your kids, go ahead. You're not going to like it, though. I think it'll be hard to watch.
Right.
And be like, you're going to be very lost. Because they just they don't handheld you the whole movie and saying, this is this character, this is that character, you know?
Right, which
it's an established franchise.
Right, right. All right, so that's how Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacay, and then what else have you seen?
I have The Spy Who Dumped Me. So I'll get more into this
one. What was his name?
Drew.
Drew.
Yeah. Directed and written by Susan Fogel and one other person, David Iserson.
That name sounds familiar, actually.
Susan Fogel.
I was just curious.
That's her.
Oh, no, I'm bad with faces, but I'm saying...
Well, she's done other stuff. There you go.
No, I'm sure she has. Okay. So, Mila Kunis and... I was forgetting.
Get it out of your way.
Kate McKinnon?
McKinnon. Mila Kunis, Kate McKinnon, Justin Theroux. Those are your big, big name guys. Justin Theroux is the spy who dumped her. Mm-hmm.
But he dumped her for secrets, right? Not because she was bad in bed or something.
Yeah.
Right, that's from the trailer.
Yeah, okay. So I'll read you the quick thing. Audrey and Morgan are best friends who unwittingly become entangled in an international conspiracy when one of the women discovers the boyfriend who dumped her was actually a spy. So yeah, the movie does this weird thing where they do with what's her name? Mila Kunis' character, Audrey,
mm-hmm.
Where she has flashbacks of her with meeting the boyfriend. And that's the only flashbacks you get of their encounter. Like, there's, like, one other date time. Other than that, it's like they never really had – they were never really boyfriend and girlfriend almost. Like, okay. it was really weird. Like, they're supposed to have, like, this intimate relationship, supposedly, because she was, like, head over heels and they fell in love, mm-hmm. whatever bullshit, and then she just got dumped. And it's like, the next year, her birthday, and she's dumped by him already, like, a week or two before that or something.
Okay.
And he's this badass international spy. The gist of it is he's got something that she kept at her place. He's trying to get it back. He dies in the process. And then she runs away with the information to where to drop off the stuff. And then, insanity ensues. And Kate McKinnon is her best friend, Morgan. And Morgan has – they kind of let Kate McKinnon loose in this movie. So she's
That's why you hire her.
That's why you hire her. I would say so, too. And she has this weird thing where she has to tell her parents. She tells her parents everything. They know everything about her. Like I went to poop. I had a bowel movement at this hour.
Okay.
Kind of shit. Like, so everything she does, you know, and obviously that becomes a thing of like, oh, they track her down because they know where she is. Because she's always calling her parents.
Right.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The movie, it's subpar. I mean, it's not a good movie overall. I hate to say it, but I think this is twice now in Bad Moms and in this movie. They're playing more that Mila Kunis isn't a beautiful woman and she's like a struggling. She has to be like a struggling person who is kind of cute. And I was like, no, like she's why are you portraying her like that?
Yeah, I know.
Like, just portray her as either she's beautiful and not maybe she doesn't get everything, but maybe she's a klutz or whatever and she doesn't have things, or one or the other, but they give her both.
What was that Jessica Alba movie where she was like a humongous klutz, but she's so beautiful that guys keep trying to be with her even though her klutziness almost gets them all killed?
I forget, but
there's a movie like that.
There's a movie something like
kind
that.
Kind of plays on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hate when movies do that. Well, it's like a new thing.
It's like specifically to Mila Kunis or something.
I mean, in this case, there's a few, but yeah. I'm saying I've seen it in other trailers or in other movies. I'm like, who the fuck are you kidding, bro? You're in the top 10% or whatever.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's like they're pegging her down on purpose. Like,
yeah, that's so ridiculous. Hire someone that looks the part or don't say that. Like,
yeah, or just
or work, morph her or something.
Or you know what? Work the movie around.
Thank you. Good luck, Chuck.
Yeah, or work around the movie, you know? Like, work around her looks. Don't think she's not. Or fucking hire somebody who looks the part.
Or make up a different reason. Yeah. I don't know.
Anything else. Right. I don't know. So I think it's lazy.
Yeah.
But whatever. That being said, she ends up doing the spy thing, mission thing to try to return it.
So is it some action stuff?
There's a lot of action in the movie.
Oh, okay, so.
Yeah, and Kate McKenna is like this egger on the whole movie.
Oh, instigates.
Yeah, she's a big instigator. She's a big, like, I run my mouth, but I talk truth all the time, right?
Okay. Instigator, yeah.
Complete instigator.
She allowed in high school.
So it's some of the parts are fun. I saw this movie like 2 weeks or 3 weeks after it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So the crowd at my theater was another couple, or a couple or two friends. I don't know, somebody.
No.
And then they were having the time of their life, but they were also half in the bag. From what it looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, meh, a lot of these fall short. Yeah. So a lot of the jokes fell short, just subpar overall script and everything else. Nothing fancy. Some good, interesting moments, at least, you know, that's something to say.
Yeah.
Some definitely funny moments. But overall, I could do without the movie. There wasn't anything fancy about this movie.
Okay. So that's The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Yeah.
A riff on the James Bond novel, fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Spy Who Loved Me, and then what was The Spy Who Shagged Me, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
You have one more, which is the one I saw, one of the ones I saw last time.
Yeah, this is Rampage, so I won't go too much into it because Oscar already went on about it last time. This is with Dwayne Johnson, Naomi Harris, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Joe Manganiello, or the Mangelino, or whatever his name is. I can't ever say it.
Sure.
Directed by Brad Peyton and written by too many people. It was kind of fun for a movie adaptation thingamabobber.
Did you have the same effect as me where I liked it way better than Skyscraper?
I did like it. Not a way better, but significantly better.
Yeah.
Than Skyscraper. And I thought it was fun. I had fun watching the movie. Dwayne Johnson looks like he's playing his roles are still really good. I had no problems on his acting part.
Yeah.
I like how they play... what's the guy's name? The cowboy... What's it called? The agency, in between agency guy who's rounding all these like squads up. The
Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Yeah.
He's
tried to play it. He's almost portrayed as like this bad guy.
Yeah.
But he's not. Like, he's just doing his job kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess.
But
yeah.
I don't know. Like, they're trying to play him as this, what's that show? The Walking Dead kind of character. And I was like, just leave him be. Like, let him act. Let him.
Negan.
Negan, yeah. They're almost like that, like a necessary evil.
Mm-hmm.
He's like that. He's playing the same role almost.
Maybe.
If it was like a necessary evil. That's the only reason I bring it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, I mean, meh. Sorry. I had fun watching it. It was cool. Some cool action scenes.
Yeah, when they're tearing up the building. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, some cool action scenes. Literally, I always watched this with my friend and my wife. And right, not like 10 seconds before, he calls... When are they bringing the crocodile or the alligator? And I was like, you know, I was like, they've done a good job of avoiding the crocodile and the alligator so far, right? And they bring it up with the, oh yeah, what about the alligator? And literally, like right after the conversation we just had,
wow.
And they bring it up, and I was like, there's your answer. He's like, I guess so.
Yeah. I think the movie did a good job of just exactly putting that out the
timing
right
time. Timing-wise, yeah, it was interesting.
Good editing.
Right.
All right, so...
But I did have fun watching this movie. So yeah. Out of the three movies, this is the one I had fun with.
Awesome.
If you will look at it that way.
No, me too. My agree.
So yeah, I would recommend watching this movie.
Yeah, I also liked it. It's a fun time. So I have two films only, both Netflix originals. I've been catching up on that. I would have had three if it wasn't for another different problem. One of them is a movie called Extinction. Again, on Netflix, one of the 82 movies that they bought. I'm not going to plan to see them all, but I'm going to put a good dent in that. And Extinction, here's a plot synopsis. A family man is plagued by dreams of loss. But his dreams turn out to be more prophetic than paranoid when the planet is attacked by an off-world invasion. As he fights to protect the people he loves, he discovers he has a hidden strength that can keep them safe from harm. And this film stars Michael Peña, Lizzie Kaplan, the kids, Amelia Crouch, Erica Tremblay. That sounds familiar to Tremblay. Like Shrapnel, Emma Booth, Mike Coulter, who's in a bunch of stuff that you've seen him. And after that, it goes on and on. Directed by Ben Yang, Stephen Cohen, and Ben Brad Kane. I don't know these people. Anyway, yeah, but it's one of those not indie movies. And it's a sci-fi film, I guess, by the off-world invasion. So it's very strange. The movie has a very nice, linear, cohesive thing to it where, like, it's the near future, maybe even farther into it, maybe like 100 years from now, it feels like, maybe more. They don't ever say. But it's in the future, and these people are living in the city, right? And it's all very narrow-minded, just this guy, just this husband, Michael Peña. And then he has these weird dreams, kind of like Take Shelter. Not as dramatic as that, but pretty much the same. And it's stopping him from working. It's terrible. And then you start getting whiffs of a conspiracy. Other people around him, like one other person, is getting the same dreams, but in his own point of view. And you don't know what's going on, and you think they're futuristic dreams, like shit's going to happen. And then it... off-world invasion comes in, and I'm not spoiling anything in the movie because the movie has a wonderful, super wonderful end of second act, beginning of third act reveal that makes the entire movie really cool to think about, really cool to put into context because you never are really sure if you're going to like the film, where it's going to go yet, but until that reveal, it all really makes sense and clicks really nice.
Okay, see, I saw a trailer for this movie.
I didn't see the trailer, so I don't know how much they spoil. I hope they didn't.
They did the whole reason of the movie, of the seeing flashbacks or seeing dreams.
The dreams, right? Yeah. Oh, they do? I didn't know that. Well, if they do ruin it, then don't watch the trailer. I never watch trailers on Netflix.
Well, it was just like I'm scrolling through things or something, and then the trailer came up. You know, out-of-place trailers?
It's a two-part reveal because one...
It just shows you that he has dreams about him.
Right. Okay, well, the dreams you know from the beginning. That he has dreams about something. And you know it's not going to be nothing. It's not about a guy going crazy. It's about a guy being right. You know what I mean? So you just don't know how it's going to happen. Once you find out what those dreams actually mean, it makes the bigger reveal even better, which is I can't say it, but it's what it is. And it makes the rest of the third act kind of like a big, nice little think piece on, well, what's the planet about? What's a lot of things about? What's a human being? What is to me a human? It's kind of cool. I mean, it's not like fucking Ex Machina or anything like that. But it is cool enough to start thinking those things. The action's not terrible. It's not like it's great either. It's not stylish. But it's fun escaping from things when the off-world invaders attack. And what is the meaning behind certain things behind the wall, so to speak. It's not the Matrix-y, but it's kind of like the Matrix-y in the reveal.
And how was he in the movie?
I liked it. I thought it was great. It was a nice ending where I kind of wanted more.
Well, how was Peña in the movie?
I think he was great. Yeah. I mean, not funny. But like, you know, people expect him to be that way. But he was really good. Yeah. He was like,
he's from Chicago, people, right?
I think so. You know that cop movie he did with On Watch, huh?
End of Watch.
Wow, Luke, he's on point.
That's the only one who saw it.
That's the only. I've seen it. I heard it's great though. I heard that he's really good as a serious.
I heard it was
actor
a good movie overall.
Yeah. So I figure it might be like that. But I haven't seen End of Watch yet. There's a point where I stopped watching Antoine Foucault's work or whatever the guy is.
Crash, so, right? The same guy who did Crash?
Yeah. Was that the same? Oh, was that that guy? I thought it was a different person. And The Watch, I think it was directed by someone else. Anyway, but it doesn't matter. But yeah, if you like him in that kind of movie, not necessarily just Ant-Man funny, then you'll like him here. I thought he was good. So,
okay.
That's my two cents on Extinction. And I saw another movie, not a comedy, but it is kind of comedic. It is The Polka King. Anyone heard of that?
No. Is it a documentary?
No, it's not.
Luke has not heard of it. Continue.
Oh, right. Local Pennsylvanian polka legend Jan Levon develops a plan to get rich that shocks his fans and lands him in jail.
Jack Black?
Palm Springs
Film Festival.
Oh, okay. Did you see it?
No, but I couldn't get tickets for it.
You know, you're not mic'd up, right?
Hold on.
Anyway, but that's awesome. Written directed by Maya Forbes. It is this star, Jack Black, Jenny Slate, Jason Schwartzman, Jackie Weaver, playing another mother, of course. If you see her face, you'd be like, oh, yes, I know. J.B. Smoove.
J.B. Smoove?
Yes. and a bunch of other actors. Some of them are more popular, some of them less popular. And this guy, it's about fraud. It's a biopic, and apparently everything in the film obviously happened and all that. Apparently the real depictions of it.
You could have said biopic. Luke would have known also. He only knows two types of things, remember?
It is biopic, I know. And it's pretty good. So the whole time, Jack Black has this heavy Polish accent. And
So you're used to it.
So I'm used to it, A. And B, he does a really good job of English as a second language speaker.
Really?
Yes, he does.
That's awesome.
He does a surprisingly good job, even though he is...
Doing a Polish
like
accent is no joke, because it's like, it's not Russian.
No, it's not.
It's not German.
Nope.
And it's not any other Slavic, really weird country around
there. No, it's not. And we can tell the difference because we grew up here.
Yeah, exactly. We can.
And I could tell that it was like pretty genuine. I mean, surprisingly genuine, right? Yeah. I'm sure a Polish man might see more imperfections, but I didn't. It fooled me. It was good enough. And his blonde hair makes him just like... You forget you're looking at Jack
Weird
Black.
Weird Al make an appearance in the
With the accordion. Yeah. No,
And Polka.
I think Jack Black does a good job to make you forget that you're looking at Jack Black.
Oh, that's cool.
So, which is surprising because he's such so gregarious and a big guy. And
he usually plays those roles. He has to.
Do you remember that movie, Bernie?
I never saw it, but yes.
It's good. So that's also the same thing. Like, it's a dramatization, a biopic of a man who is famous for a crime. Just like this one. Polka King is famous for a big crime. In this case, it's fraud involving investments that he shouldn't have done and lands him in jail and all that stuff. And this one, and Bernie, is the same thing, but it's about killing someone. He's like the nicest guy in town, but he kills someone. He kills the meanest lady in town or something like that. Bernie is really good. And it's also based on real stuff. I read the articles on it when the year came out. I don't know how he does. He's like two for two on these weird types of movies that he's actually really surprisingly good in, but he's not funny in the movie, but he's funny as a character.
Because he's a character.
He's a character. I mean, the Polka
Jack
King,
Black himself
the Polka
is
King
a character.
Is a showman. Yeah. So, like, he kind of looks ridiculous. Yeah. And unless you're really into polka, you're not going to take him. You're not going to take the music that seriously. But it's heartwarming, too, in a way, because he's a straight man, even though he is, you know, always out there.
Yeah.
So I think it works the same in Bernie. Bernie's a little more understated. So if you're interested, if you like Bernie, I would say Polka King, great sequel to that, or you know, spiritual sequel. But it's a lot of fun. It's a great movie. It's a really fun movie. Polka King is super highly recommended for me. Had a lot of blast with it, and it's amazing when you read up on it how much of it was true and do it.
Where'd you see that one? It was on Netflix also.
Also on Netflix.
Oh,
it's Netflix
that.
Original from them too.
Oh, really? Also, yes. They bought it from the film festival.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Well, they always buy movies.
From a film work, of course. That's how it works.
Yeah, producers. Yeah, exactly. So those are the two recent discoveries that I've done. Raf has done here. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to review our first film of the evening, which will be Mile 22. So stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world where everybody feels cozy and validated all the time? Or do you want to live in a world that works? We fight new wars. The old options, military, diplomacy, they don't always succeed. Sometimes you need a third option. That's Overwatch. According to the government, we do not exist. We're ghosts, but we are very real, and we get shit done.
An elite American intelligence officer, aided by a top-secret tactical command unit, tries to smuggle a mysterious police officer with sensitive information out of the country. This is Mile 22, starring all these people. Starring Mark Wahlberg, Lauren Cohen, Iku Uwais, John Malkovich, Ronda Rousey. Rousey or Rousey? I was forgetting.
Rousey.
Thank you. Carlo Alban, Natasha Gubsakaya. Sorry. Sam Medina. He's definitely in it a lot. Directed by Peter Berg and written by a bunch of people. Main screenwriter, Lee Carpenter. But written by a bunch of people. But directed, Peter Berg had directed movies like, I'm going to say the ones I remember. He did Patriots Day, and I don't know about that one. He did Deepwater Horizon. I know he's been a part of shows like Ballers and that Sunday Night Lights or Friday Night Lights, whatever it's called. Lone Survivor, Battleship. You know, he's done, I think, one or two 30 for 30s. He has done Hancock. He did Hancock, The Kingdom, which I actually enjoyed. The Rundown I enjoyed. Very Bad Things. These are some of his films. So the guy is, I described them to you, Ralph, this director, Peter Berg. I remember out of the theater because we saw this one together. I described Peter Berg to you as like a Michael Bay light, or mm-hmm. not even, but that kind of implies that he's like lesser than Michael Bay. I just mean he's less popular than Michael Bay. Meaning like, but he's I think he's better than Michael Bay, but he's like a more sensitive, more appealing version of Michael Bay, where he does a lot of patriotism. He does a lot of Americana, American like survival stories, war stories, heroic stories, mm-hmm. are almost all his movies and shows, just like Michael Bay. And they both probably have some sort of military contract where they can use military vehicles and their stamps of approval and their seals in order to make movies more genuine. Very few directors have that. I remember I told you about it. So yeah, he's one of them. So anyway, so Mile 22, you've seen some of his films. What do you think of this movie? And if you want, think of it in terms of his other movies, comparing them of Mile 22. What did you think?
He did Lone Survivor, right?
Mm-hmm. I still remember the trailers. There's so much of them.
Yeah, yeah.
About the real guy talking about the bloke and trend.
I didn't hate this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I found it weird, some aspects of it. But overall, I did have fun with the action itself. So overall, I guess I would say is a little bit better than what I've seen him do.
You mean a little bit better than his norm?
Yes.
Okay. His shtick?
His shtick, yeah.
I heard that Deepwater is pretty good, but I haven't seen it.
Deepwater Horizon?
Yeah.
Deepwater Horizon was good.
Mm-hmm. I heard Kurt Russell's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, but it's not your normal for military movies I'm going for.
No, that's not. You're right. It's not
nothing to do with
it. It's nothing to do with that. I don't think it's just... Yeah. This is strange because unlike his most stuff, as we kind of said, this isn't based on any real things. Lone Survivor is. Deep Rider is, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that some of the other ones are. I just don't remember. Or are they based on books or about real events?
Well, I just think it's there's nothing holding you down or you're trying to represent somebody properly,
mm-hmm.
or even instead you're not trying to, what's it called when you're doing a based on a real true event or whatever,
mm-hmm.
You're trying to incorporate as much of the truth as possible or whatever you're trying to do and make it, you know, pleasurable for the audience.
Yeah.
That's when things get finicky, you know?
I think that's a myth, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that being said, it being its own thing, mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to worry about, is this good? You know, not just like that's bullshit. I don't think that's true. It could be true, but I don't know.
Right.
We've been fooled before, like, Foxcatcher completely, for example.
I don't remember it.
The very end, that fight, that's a completely different fight.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't remember.
Don't remember it at all. I do. I remember the ending of that movie.
I remember I liked Mark Ruffalo.
Well, it's because it's based on true events, right?
I think so.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, cool. So not bad, but not great. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Mile 22 does have some strange elements. It's strange for what I expected. I should be saying that because obviously you go into a movie like Sorry to Bother You knowing it's going to be strange, and then if it weeds you off from that point, that means the movie is really strange.
Yeah.
But you go into a Peter Berg movie not expecting anything. So when it's something off kilter, it'll seem stranger than usual.
Exactly.
So that's my version of strange. I'm going to put that out there now. And by strange is two different things. Two different things. One is the focus on this mission that doesn't start till about halfway through the movie. It feels like, anyway. It's how that culminates and ends up. That's weird. And two is Mark Wahlberg's character, who is this overbearing, asshole, unloading, stress-filled monster man who yells at all of his employees to expect better results. It's one of those types of bosses that yells to think that that'll get better results. And they try to make us sympathize with that by adding in two things. One, I don't believe in, and two, two, I do, I guess. Mm-hmm. The one that I believe is like, okay, the only reason I can see people have to tolerate this behavior is because he's really good at his job. That's the one thing I was kind of convinced. Like, he, I guess, seemed pretty good at his job. And two is that they had to, like, do this thing on his background as a character to explain why he is this way. And involves, you know, they show some of his upbringing.
Yeah, I didn't need that.
We didn't need that. I feel like the movie's trying to make us, like, hey, make us understand
why he's an asshole.
I'm like, no, an asshole can just be an asshole.
It
doesn't make me think less of him when he's still yelling.
You could have brought that up. You could have brought that up without bringing his backstory and saved the 5 minutes it took. Yeah. Right? Not that you like. I could be with it or without it. Doesn't matter.
I think just leaving the Robot in. That's all you needed.
Yeah, I could be with it or without it. It didn't matter. He's got
OCD
six
or something.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Whatever the case is, I thought that right away. I go, oh, this guy's probably like, you know, he needs this to calm
But the way
the world.
He acts, it, in the movie itself, it doesn't produce better results. So I'm like, okay, he must be good at his job at tactically leading or something. That's the only thing I can see saving him as to why any agency, corporation or government, will accept this guy at such high levels. Because yelling doesn't do anything. He spends 5 minutes yelling at a hacker IT girl when she could have been working. For those 5 minutes, the whole time I was thinking like, if you stop yelling, you could go back to work, you know, like you like. And I get it, it's all part of the persona thing, but I don't think the movie expected maybe me as an audience member to end up not liking this guy and not really wanting him to succeed in the movie, which is not a typical thing of a hero. You know, so you get one, coming.
I do.
So how do you feel the same way? Less?
Yeah, like I said, I could do with it, with or without it. I didn't care for the explanation, and I didn't get why, except the only reason I can get the explanation for is to say that, oh, he's not really an asshole. Like, that's just the persona he is. Like, this is who he is as a person. Okay, like, he's an asshole. Like, it's fine. He has that personality, or he has this,
right?
You know, this thing that he can't control or whatever, but he does control. By doing this, but nonetheless, he's an asshole. Yeah.
Anyway, so that really bugged me, and obviously it bugs me, and this is like a major point of the movie because he is the main star. And not that he's in every scene or anything, there's definitely other scenes, but he is the main guy on the screen. And so, yeah, it's a big bothersome thing. Another thing this movie employs, on top of those weird flashbacks to their lives, or especially his life, they do a little flashbacks, but not much. They do this foreshadowing thing throughout the movie of Mark Wahlberg's character telling to, I guess, government officials or
debriefing
diplomats.
Debriefing or something.
Debriefing. He's telling the whole story of the movie we're watching and how bad it went. Like, in advance of saying how bad it went, how you should have seen the signs, things of that nature, right?
Yeah. Well, it's actually not. This is not how he should have seen the signs. It's more like why he didn't see anything.
Right. Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, it's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
You're right, though. So what did you think of that, that story?
Well, I thought that
device
ruined the ending for me. I mean, I saw the ending coming a mile away. He obviously lives, and more than likely nobody in his team does.
Right.
I hate to put it that way. Now, we don't know how it gets to that point.
Right.
Right, of course.
And we only want to say it's a spoiler alert or not, but it's pretty obvious, and it's in the opening.
Obvious because he's talking about...
I think he says about his entire team gone or something.
He says like it wasn't going to be a walk in the park or whatever bullshit, you know, shit like that. And they basically say it was going to be a big risk. I was like, oh, this just says the whole movie. Like, I already found out the whole ending into this movie. Like, we know the ending. Yeah. We know the outcome.
Yeah. The only outcome we didn't know at that point was the two things we didn't know is how they were all going to die. And two, there is a character played by Iko Uwais, who is this famous... He's like Thailandese Tom Cruise, for all we know. Action star. Awesome guy. The Raid guys. We'll watch The Raid, Redemption, and The Raid 2. You will not regret it. Anyway, amazing guy. He's in the movie, and he's a part of... He is that person I mentioned in the opening of this review. He is a person that is being transported to the airport from the... What's it called? The embassy.
Right.
It's, you know, 22 miles. That's where it's come from. So, yeah. He's the only guy we know nothing of his outcome because he's not the team, but he is the team's mission. But other than that, the movie is very predictable at that point because the rest is just like, well, I guess I better be excited over the action or be something cool about it because now I know the whole thing.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Which I think might be a good time to get into spoilers.
We could.
Just because we're talking about that almost now.
Yeah.
But furthermore, real quick, would you see this again? If not, would you recommend it?
Oh, good question. I don't think I need to see this again.
Mm-hmm. Ditto.
And it'd be a maybe on the recommended.
Yeah, I'm on maybe too.
I don't want to say I'd fully recommend it, but I wouldn't tell anybody to watch it in theaters. How about that?
You don't think it was very cinematic?
I think it does use
the Bourne supremacy style of shooting.
They make fun of that in the movie.
Did they really?
Yeah, he mentions the Bourne. He goes describe this. He's like, things that they probably think this shit is from like the Bourne. That shit was pulled from like the Bourne identity. Or
maybe. I mean, I never. I remember. Okay, I have seen Lone Survivor, and from what I remember of that movie is that it does a really good job of putting space to the action and being wider and not so close knit. Right? Do you remember that?
That's something like
I remember the action being more competent, I guess. I mean, don't get me wrong. A different style is a different style. If a style is committed and if it's well made, I'm with that style. I'm not going to say no. It's like saying, like, I only like hand-drawn animation and not claymation.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Stupid. They can both work fine. But I think in this one, it does detract a bit, and it tries to – it feels like it's mimicking a Bourne thing than it is making a good version of that style. You know what I'm saying? So the action isn't as super great as I thought it would be. It's great sometimes, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's mainly choreography. And that isn't the style of the camera. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So that's my another little complaint there. But some people do love that style, though. I mean, it's a big popular thing for a reason.
Obviously.
People love it.
Obviously.
So let's get into spoilers. Did I say? I would say I would mildly recommend it. Because it is entertaining sometimes. All right. Spoilers for Mile 22 starting right now.
That's my asset.
Who is he?
Lee Noor.
I don't want to know his name. I don't know what he does for a living. I want to know who is he.
A loner. No kids, no family, 100% accurate and reliable.
You mark him or he mark you?
I marked him.
He says he has the exact locations of all six sets of season. He's locked it on a disc. He says only if we get him out of the country and give him asylum will he open the disc.
You going to deal with this or you want me to handle it?
I got it.
This is serious, right?
Oh, very.
They all die.
They all do die.
Except for Marky Mark.
Yes, except for Rockstar himself. Predictable. Was it 100% as predictable as the movie turned out to be, or was it something you missed that you liked or missed that you didn't like?
Once Ronda Rousey's character dies in the movie, it was, predictable how everybody else was going to die.
Oh, now based on the popularity of screen?
Yes. The nobody's blown up right away. You get Ronda Rousey dying right after. Mm-hmm. And then she kills herself, right, with taking out the enemies.
Yes.
Then the second guy in command, obviously probably the one he did the most tours with, right, mm-hmm. or the most missions with, mm-hmm. dies, and he goes out in kind of a storm, kind of not anticlimactic thing.
Yeah. The main bad guy sort of kills him.
Yeah, sort of kills him, exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
The only guy who talks back to
The other girl lives because that's his protege, mm-hmm. right, and you see her do really cool shit. But what's it called? You see her do really cool shit, but you know she's going to die somehow.
Right, yeah, because she's not in a debriefing.
Exactly. Like other than that, I mean, yeah, so that was kind of predictable.
So the thing with her is that she's the only person, Lauren Cohen.
We get other story about?
Right. And Lauren Cohen, by the way, this is her first film I've seen her since The Walking Dead.
Okay.
She's one of the main stars of The Walking Dead. I'm pretty sure that's her.
She looks just like her. That's her. I was debating on who she is.
Her name is Alice. Yeah. I want to get her name.
And she's Maggie in The Walking Dead.
Maggie in The Walking Dead, right. Always pregnant, never safe. She's been pregnant for like 2 seasons. I don't even know what's going on anymore. Alice is... we get some background on her, and it's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. I think... So this is another thing is that the only other person that gets a background is this girl, who also gets a very bad job of giving us a good person here, or a good reason to sympathize or like her or even understand her. She can't even control her swearing, which makes me think she can't control anything, kind of thing. They make a big fun, almost like I think it's making a joke about the whole divorce, you know, the parents. The kid.
I think the reason that's in there for is because there's a lot of people in the military who are probably like that. Or a lot of people who are in that type of position. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think that's in there. That is in there longer than it needs to be. Because we get a lot of that for no reason.
Like, right. But also
just to get
her
to feel more for her.
You can just show like a one-sided thing where none of it's her fault. She's not doing anything outside the legal... whatever stipulations her and the lawyers of the divorce lawyers got.
Although I never knew that shit existed.
That was cool. I mean, not that cool, but that makes sense, though, that a program like that would exist to talk to your kids. But, like, if you swear or say something bad, it will shut you down. Whatever. It seems... Maybe it's not great. Actually, maybe it seems terrible. Anyway, I don't think I did a good job of painting a good picture of her, of Alice, as someone competent. Like I said, people can be assholes, but don't, like, give me something. And but I did like her in the moment. My favorite scenes, by the way, were when they did their second stop, this is after the cafe, in the apartment complex, a huge one, right? And their hallways are going hallways, and they all look the same. I don't know where they're at. And she gets separated, and she has to fight off all the invaders, right, essentially. And she makes it through, like, another apartment. She breaks through and stuff like that. I like her quick thinking on that stuff. Like, that was her best moments as an action thing. And I really liked her there. I thought she was really cool. She made it to the very end before she couldn't make it anymore, and then that's when she gets saved by Marky. So it was a cool enough scene. I got me tension just enough, and I really liked that scene in her. We were discussing the ending a bit more, and I didn't catch the double cross or the triple cross. I don't know what it is. What I didn't expect was the Russians' involvement the way they were. So the Russians are part of this, because the movie actually opens up with them attacking a Russian safe house. I guess they're using the internet to hack things or troll things or get information. And they're in some suburb, right, in America. And you find out later on that they killed the son of someone high up in Russia's political stuff.
Extremely high up.
Apparently very high up. Apparently, my prime minister's wife, for all we know, whatever it is.
Yeah, and it also happened to be the one guy who didn't get printed, if you're thinking about it now.
Oh, in that opening?
Because everybody gets printed. Everybody gets...
But they were all being printed while they were waiting downstairs before the fire, right? He didn't get printed?
No, because he was upstairs.
Oh, that's right. He came after. That's right. He was through the... Was he through the wall?
Yeah. He was in that room with another person in there. Okay. What's it called?
I don't remember that. I remember the hidden wall. I just don't remember all the specifics on it.
Yeah, if I'm correct, he didn't get printed. Unless it might be incorrect, and he did... He just did a good job of hiding his tracks.
Right. I mean, it seems like a very long-winded, roundabout way just to make sure that our main characters didn't know his involvement with the Russian government, right? Like,
well, it is the mission right after, so it would make sense that you don't have everything on the person.
Yeah. No, I understand the heat of the moment thing, but right. I'm saying I'm surprised that they wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
I know that Marky Mark shoots at himself outside. He's the only guy who makes it outside the house. He shoots him on the ground, right? On the forest. Right. But, that doesn't mean like, yeah, you're right. I guess the movie was being careful of making sure that they didn't know who this kid really was. So when later on it bites him in the ass. So the whole thing with Iku Weiss is that they planted this double agent to feed information to the Americans long enough to make him so valuable that when he has to get out of wedlock fast from his own government in the country, which is where all the main action comes from, having to travel from the embassy to the airport, he is. They have to invoke this Overwatch team, which is Marky Mark's team, where they have to basically quit the American force, and then
if they die, they have all plausible deniability.
And John Malkovich comes in to give them, straight up satellite footage, information, recon stuff,
right?
And it's all cool. And the whole time, you're seeing these scenes of the Russian airplane and whatever. You're seeing them prepare for this revenge. And
right.
It never comes. They make it to the airport, and you're like, what is going on? Did they wait for them to make it to the airport before like sending them? The whole time I'm thinking, where is the missile? When are they sending the missile, right?
Right.
I didn't really fully understand Iku Weiss's betrayal to them after that, because Marky Bark, and his one moment of being nice sends Alice to the plane so she can go back home too to see her kid, because she's needed there and he can stay and do all the work, and that's obviously the bad move. And Iku Weiss, I guess kills her, takes over the plane, God knows what.
Yeah.
And the movie ends with him like vowing revenge, and he's the only one alive, and it feels like a show, like it's the season finale, and then I can't wait for next season kind of thing. It's like there's a show with another Walking Dead cast member, the main guy, Rick. I forgot the name of the show. It's from Cinemax. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But that show is very action-heavy, and it also has a very similar kind of similar cliffhangers. But that's what I felt like. Didn't I feel like that too?
Sort of. What it also felt like is like the movie almost, I don't know if I'm trying to get this message from the movie, if the movie's trying to tell me this or not, but it's that we're not the only ones with a team similar to this.
Right.
We're not the only ones thinking outside the box when it comes to a military tactical style of mm-hmm. whatever we need. When we need to get something shit done. I think the story about it is that there's another country, there's another entity, another thing that's willing to do something different and maybe way outside the box that maybe we're not willing to do or that we don't do that they can get in also. Like a sleeper agent.
Yeah, that's a really good way, kind of like the Americans, the show, obviously. That's a really good way of putting it. That is a good idea because you're right, because the beginning is actually like a big showcase of what this team can do so fast,
they're
right?
Ghosts.
But also, you see the safe house, and it's super well equipped. It's like also very smartly made. So all you need is the right intel, and that's how people get taken down. That's all the Russians needed is the right intel for their sleeper to kill. Like they use the right tool, this kind of thing. And everyone can think outside the box. You're right, and it's always like it's almost like we're too showy that we can never really.
Exactly.
Flank anyone, so to speak, tactically speaking. But we can always get flanked.
Yep.
It does have that feeling in it. But do you think it's saying anything else about, I don't know, American covert ops or anything like that?
No, I think it's saying that there's no such thing as truly covert, truly that, no matter what we think. There's never that they're going to be that. I don't think we'll ever get that. And I think that's what it's trying to say.
Okay.
At least that's how I see it.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm sure I could see that too, but I didn't even think of it. I kind of was just like annoyed by him yelling all the time.
I guess.
But yeah, the film does end like I feel like there's going to be a Mile 23 sequel coming out or something.
How do you... Yeah, I don't even know how you begin to do that.
No, I don't know. I'm not saying I want one. I'm just saying it feels like it is. And I want to say Iku Uwais has this awesome scene when he's in the embassy and I guess his government managed to put in two agents, you know, dressed up as doctors, and he has this fight scene. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like the steady increase because they do a comparison to Iku Uwais, who is just a police officer. Obviously, he's not just a police officer. And Mark Wahlberg, you know Mark Wahlberg with the OCD head, you know, rubber band snapping thing. He has this thing with the fingers, right? Which is also like another form of calming himself down. Or I think with him also ramping himself up. I think in some scenes he kind of like meditates right before he starts something big.
You're right.
And he both is really badass and great at self-defense and all that. It's almost worth it to see the movie with his stuff in it. But you're also going to wish you want more, though. But we do get some nice stuff, for sure. Him and Nick in the apartment complex, we see some great stuff, too.
Yeah.
I actually liked this evil smirk at the end on the plane when she found out the truth of it all in the moment. That was a cool little smirk. But yeah, I don't really got anything else on this movie.
Yeah, I can't put anything else into it. I liked it. I like what I see from it. And I think, what's the guy's name? You said it like 300 times. I can never say his name.
Iku Uwais?
Exactly. I think he does a great job of playing the...
By the way, I may be pronouncing that way off.
That I am too. Mm-hmm. Double or triple agent that he ends up being.
Yeah.
He plays it off fucking good.
Yeah.
Because now you always think there's something up with him. He's infiltrating them somehow. You just don't know how.
Right.
And you forget that they're looped in with the Russians. Although they're kind of giving us that hint throughout the whole movie.
Right.
But when you look back at it.
It's like one of those things with a sixth sense. He's telling you you're dead. But you don't know.
Yeah,
until the end.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he does a good job. He does a good job of selling himself as they come in to kill him. He doesn't. And it's almost like everybody was in on it except for the Americans.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like even his own country's government, which I think they were genuine, honestly.
Did you?
Yes, I think he did double cross his own country just to get it convincingly enough. He just had to stay alive long enough to get them all killed.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They just needed to invoke the Overwatch thing. That was the main objective. He did that in the beginning.
Okay.
He did that almost in the beginning, just after surviving his first attack at the embassy. After that, he was already golden.
I guess.
Even if he died halfway through, the Russians have everyone. They already had their team there and shit, and they were waiting for the right time. And Owen killed John Malkovich and everybody.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So, I don't know. It seemed like it was pretty much sold, and they were just nailing the last heads on the coffin, so to speak. So that's it. All I have on Mile 22. We semi-recommend it. It wasn't a bad time.
Listen, If you have AMC's A-List, you could definitely go watch it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, it's worth it.
If
for that.
You have Tuesdays off, you should definitely go watch it for $5 Tuesdays.
Yeah. Or wait till HBO gets it.
That's how I recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not like, yeah, you don't have to see it in theaters.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take another quick break here. When we come back, we'll review another film in theaters right now, The Happy Time Murders, starring Muppets, or whatever they're called, and human beings. Stay with us.
50 cents, I'll suck your dick.
Well, it's a great price. It almost makes me wish I had a dick for you to suck.
Oh, I'll take that as a yes.
Two of the most decorated offices in this department. What do you see?
Looks like a robbery gone wrong to me.
This wasn't a robbery. This was a hit.
Welcome!
Someone out there is killing puppets.
Hey, handsome.
You looking for some rotten cotton?
I'm a woman.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's even better.
Got a good time for you.
We're gonna catch the bastards who did these murders.
Because bodies are gonna start piling up.
You're one of the best damn cops I've ever seen.
I'll have your badge for this. I'm in the fucking FBI.
Oh, yeah? What's that stand for? Fucking big idiot?
No Sesame, All Street. When the puppet cast of a 90s children's TV show begin to get murdered one by one, a disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye puppet takes on the case. There's more to it, but whatever. Anyway, this movie stars Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, Elizabeth Banks. I'm going to get the actor who actually... Who is the dude who plays the voice? Who's the voice? They don't have him in that order, bro. Well, I'll have
rude.
To find it. Maya Rudolph, like I said, Leslie David Baker.
No, rude on their part.
Yeah, I know. Right? Joel McHale is in it, but he's not in it that much. Man, this sucks. Benjamin Cole Royer? Oh, that's not it. I don't know. Wow, that's awful. Anyway, it stars all those people. And it's written Todd Berger, directed by Brian Henson.
Jim Henson's son.
Yeah, Jim Henson's son. Not to be confused with the original Henson. But it is a Henson production. I forgot the name of the company, but they put it in the movie.
It says something Henson. I forgot what it said.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so this made my top five. I think it was my number five, actually. Most anticipated movies list for the simple reason that I want that next great laugh out loud memorable Melissa McCarthy movie, because we all know, at least I do, and most of the public for the most part agrees, that she has the chops to do that. She is the next, you know, she's Bill Murray. She's not specifically, but like, you know, as far as comedic movie stars, right? She's that high, or who's the dude from Tommy Boy? Chris Farley.
Mm-hmm.
She's that. All those things, you know, roll into one person, and I do think she has a chop. She just needs a good movie, you know. And I was kind of hoping this was it. That's why I made my most anticipated movies. But I will give my first impressions is that this is not that one, unfortunately. Not to say that it is a bad movie. I definitely did not think it was as bad as a Metascore critic or like Rotten Tomatoes kind of puts it as. I think it deserves a bit more praise than that, the 27 or whatever percent it is. But it's still, I will not warrant it as a good movie. I doubt I will ever see it again. However, I did have a lot of fun doing parts, and the overallness of the raunchy comedy, I did like. Not love, but I liked it. I guess I was just hoping for more, and we'll get into those things in a bit. But what did you think of The Happy Time Murders? Were you happy timing?
Well, I will also say that I think I've said this before, when the movie was first released or announced, that I felt like this movie should have came out maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not that long ago, but at least 6 or 5 or 6 years ago. Something around that.
Maybe around the time the Ted came out.
Yeah, that'd
because
be a great
Ted
time.
Was a big hit because of how unique the premise was,
mm-hmm.
right? And but still kept the raunchy dialogue attitude.
That'd be a great time around there.
Yeah.
I just feel like where we are comedic wise, comedy wise also, this falls flat. It's not as funny as it needs to be. Personally, I like the story. I like the raunchiness.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the story is pretty much plain and simple, there's nothing.
Where do you think we are these days?
Comedic-wise?
Yeah, in movies.
I think we're in movies. I think we still want to see something funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're able to take a more elaborate joke. And we're able to take a longer joke also.
So you think
so?
That,
not necessarily just as a quick laugh at something, or that's funny, but we're able to take a joke somewhere along. You're able to call back something from the movie.
I'm curious because I haven't really thought of that question, so you just made me think of it now. But in the grand scheme of comedic movies or cinema in the last, let's say, 5 years, I feel like, in one way, you're right, Ralph. It seems like audiences are less dumb, right? Mm-hmm. Less stupid about, you know, the exact thing you just said, that you can take long form comedy, they can take a 3-part joke, for example.
Yeah.
You're right. I prefer those too. However, I do feel like the quality, or maybe the amount, I don't know what, the quality and the amount of quality cinematic movies or comedies are drastically less.
Yeah, I do agree. But what I was trying to get at also is that we're also, and I hate to say this because I just kind of like, we're also used to a mile a minute kind of comedy. This movie,
I mean, the Lego Batman movie made our top 10, and that was like a mile a minute.
This movie does not give that to us. It is not that type of pacing for the type of comedy it is. It lets some of the stuff breathe. It lets some of the stuff play out. Hmm. It gives its time more on things. Also, the problem is the trailer did not help this movie. Because everything that's in the trailer is in the movie.
Okay, I definitely should talk about the trailers now. I do think that the high points are definitely in the trailer.
They are.
Or at least they allude to them in the trailer.
The trailer does not do them justice for that.
No. They tell you too much.
They do.
Or show too much. Which is always a problem with comedies and action movies. They would show like the best action scene, for example, to hook you in. And I was like, well, it's not going to get better than this. You're right. That is unfortunate. Not the movie's fault, but it is because of it that, you know, still a problem. So,
yeah.
You know, can't.
You don't mind watching something from the trailers, but it can't be everything.
Yeah. It can't be that much. Yeah. I really feel like we should just make like a weird, like, not a law, but something like a law where, like, they can't.
Well, I just feel whoever's making the trailer.
They can't show anything or reference to anything in the second half of its running time. Like, that's it. And then, so if you have to make a trailer based on the first half of a movie. And even that's kind of pushing it. But
yeah,
like,
I just feel also like the climate of puppets or Muppets or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've never been outplayed by puppets. I've never feel like, oh, I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. I never have.
I'm either. Not that I'm seeking for them.
Not that I'm seeking for it either. But I also feel like this movie came out during one of the Muppets or in between the Muppet movies that came out. That would have been really cool. Or right after the second Muppet movie that came out. That would have been really cool.
Oh, I see what you mean. That's just...
I just feel like it took them too long for them to come out. And then they stuck with the script or everything they had from back then that they wanted to make this movie. Because it feels like the movie was made...
Assuming that's the issue. I bet you're right. Some of these movies are...
But it feels that way.
Maybe they was in production and on shelves for years.
I think this movie would have been better had the story been better. And even though we lost all the good stuff in the comedy.
Yes.
Like, a lot of the stuff doesn't make sense. So overall, I guess my first impression is underwhelmed in this movie. I expected more from it. I wanted more from it. Which is the same thing as expected.
Yeah. It's okay.
But I didn't get that. I agree with you at some parts. Still funny. Some parts still, you know, made me go, okay. But for the most part, I was just like, okay. I found myself going, okay.
I differ from you about the pacing of this movie. I do think this movie is probably a little too fast-paced because you're right, not compared to maybe like a kid's film.
I meant pacing in the jokes. I meant like in like they let a joke breathe a little bit longer than a normal joke. So like in a mile a minute movie, we get a joke and boom, it's gone. Like it's where next joke is in already, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to keep progressing. And this one, it's like,
there's at least some space in between some things. They'll say something, and you'll see like a pause.
That's been more common on movies where they let actors riff.
Yeah.
Because they have to pick out the best riff.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of SNL comedians, for example, do it this way, or there's a term for it that I'm just missing out on. And in this movie, it seems to be chock full of them. You could even tell from the post-credit, like, you know, laugh reel or whatever.
My favorite part of the movie.
Which is unfortunate. And
yeah.
It's not my favorite part, but it's a funny part. And they had a lot of fun on set. You could tell. They looked like the people making the movie were having probably more fun than
great.
I did.
Which is great.
Watching it, you know. Yeah,
that's great on them, bro.
I wish I was having
they did a lot of work. They did a lot of work for this movie.
Well, every movie requires a lot of work.
Right, but you know, like the puppet thing, like you're basically doing like three people to animate one person, one puppet.
Yeah, and all those people draped in the green green CG thing. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
That's what I meant. You're doing like an extra step on top of the normal work.
Right? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's what I meant.
Yes, and I think my problem is that there is no accountability. Now we're talking about the story and the characters here, but one thing I didn't like about it really soured me is there's no accountability for the characters. Like they have immense flaws, but only for a joke, and nothing is done to resolve them. The only problem that the movie cares about, even referencing to a degree of solving it or making it better, is their ex-friendship, ex-partnership. This is Melissa McCarthy's character and Phil, the private dick, the Muppet in the movie. And they both, that's the only thing that the movie cares about wanting to fix and address. But there are other serious complications that the movie doesn't address, and then and it makes them not human. It makes me not want to sympathize with them. You know, great comedies in the past, you know, I can't think of a good one right now, but like, even if you think of, you know, I don't know, Ghostbusters or something, I don't know what, like Groundhog Day, it's perfect. That dude, it's all about, the whole movie is about character. There's nothing not character about it. All the stuff he's doing is slowly turning him, and it's just about him and what he falls in love with. I'm not going to, not reviewing that movie, but I feel like this movie has none of that, and it's just like punchline and after riff and after punchline, and some of them is really funny, but it just lasts as long as the joke lasts and doesn't have any stay.
Right.
So, but like, for example, I really like that when he goes to that porn shop. That was with the cow. I thought that was freaking hilarious.
That was probably my second favorite moment in the movie.
And then I like the reference back later on. Yep. He does like,
but he can't get it out of his head.
He can't get it out of his head, so he just like flashes to it, and we see it, and it's really funny.
Or when he's explaining, they show it all the time.
Also, yeah, some voiceover work at some point. It's really funny, and that works really well. But like, for everyone that works that well, which is about like, I don't know, like a half dozen, there are like double that doesn't work as well.
Agreed.
And that's why this movie doesn't do as great. Not to say that I didn't have fun, but what did you think of Melissa McCarthy compared to her other shtick, her other roles?
I thought she was held back.
I think her last great movie was I Spy, or just Spy.
Yeah.
Is it called Spy?
I think it was called Spy.
I like the movie a lot.
I like the movie a lot also. I think she held back. I think she was holding back. I don't know. There was like this weird relationship that they never want to talk around, and then they never do, and they bring it up once, and they never have to talk about it again. And you feel like that's the moment that she'll be herself, but she never is.
Yes, you know, and her character has like this apparent. So, I guess essentially, she, instead of a liver, she has like a Muppet's liver, and she can't be addicted to, like, for her, sugar is like cocaine for humans, kind of thing. So it's really bad for her, but she obviously gets a big high out of it. And in this Muppet world, sugar is that to them, you know, it's like cocaine. And so she indulges heavily on that shit.
Yeah, there's this interesting scene where they go to her apartment,
yeah,
and you see like how much of a sugar addict she is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because like it kind of fits with her persona also, because mm-hmm. she's a bigger person.
Yeah,
and you also like, you know, it's something that we wouldn't think normally, like sugar, but they're puppets, they're Muppets, so
right,
they're like, that makes sense for them.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, like an elf.
Yeah, yeah. Do we want to have a spoiler session for this? Or do
we can. It's up to you. Okay. I need to know. I have been walking around the spoilers.
I know, we have.
Yeah.
But I just don't know, because if it's not that important, we could just talk about the plot without spoiling it, but because we don't need to spoil it.
We could. That's up to you.
I think I like that. I think we're not going to have a spoiler session, right? Because we don't think we need it. I mean, sure. Stay till the end because of the credits were funny at the end, but that's not a spoiler. It's just, you know, how do the magic work? That's basically what the end is about. But anyway, so the plot of this Happy Time Murders, Happy Time is the Happy Time Gang, I guess, is this children's show where here's another thing about the plot I didn't like is that it was too connected. It was all too connected.
Way too connected.
And it's, I'll give you the prime example is actually at the beginning of the movie. I'm not spoiling anything. There is another connecting twist to it by the end that I'm not going to spoil if you're interested in that kind of thing. But really, it's just a fucking Muppet Runcher movie. But whatever. So the beginning thing is that this private eye who used to be a detective, the first black, not first black. I almost said the first black. I was like, oh, I was thinking Black Klansman. Like, no, it's not it. The first Muppet to be a police officer or a police detective?
Officer.
Officer. He, you know, went down in flames. Went down in flames, shot a guy. Apparently, he was a great marksman. I don't even, whatever.
Top of his class.
Yeah. Which, right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so he is connected to this serial killer killing these Happy Time gang cast members.
Yeah, like Sesame Street.
One human, the rest Muppets. And they're doing a really good job of it. And they seemingly do it every time he's around them. Like, after two incidences, first the porn shop one, that's the first time, right? And then there's the second one, I forget who it was, but there's a second one, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. At the second one, after that, I would have been like, okay, I am bringing an Uzi with me, or I'm bringing bodyguards with me, because these people need to be protected as I go talk to them. Okay, or bring a camera crew with you so you can prove the super obvious thing that's happening in the movie.
Yeah.
And I felt like everything was too neatly...
I agree.
And it shouldn't have been. Yeah.
Also, no one uses Uzi anymore.
Well, I'm just saying something
I get what
more,
you're saying, yeah.
Whatever. What's wrong with Uzis?
I don't know.
And who doesn't... Sombra uses Uzis.
Anyways.
I was playing Overwatch today. Did you feel me on this?
I do. I do agree with you, yeah. After the second time, I was just like, we don't get the pattern here, guys. Like, we're not getting it. The fact that...
And they keep falling for it. And in the process, it becomes like a...
Well, they don't even bring it up. That's why my killer thing... My killer thing. That's what the kind of kills me in the movie is like... about the... One of the things about the movie is like, they never even bring it up. Like, what are the odds? Like, the cops bring it up and they tell them... Right?
Mm-hmm. After the third.
But they don't even get the hints of like, they just think they always need to get ahead of them when it's like, no, they're obviously following you. Maybe you're leading them to him.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No one thinks about that. He's supposedly a good detective. She's supposedly a good I mean, obviously, no one's good at the job in this movie. I feel like this movie maybe needs a straight person, a straight man, a straight girl.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what it needs to offset this horrible balance of shite. Maybe that's what it needed. Then I would overlook these plot problems and character development problems easier. Because there's some movies that, you know, that have those same problems, but I like them better because they do something else greater, you know?
Right. I 100% agree with you.
There, I mean, Michael Bay still has made some great action movies. Plot's awful. But they're so good with the action, you know, Bad Boys 2, for example. Fucking great action, but Jesus, that movie, plot-wise, don't even look at it.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Pretty rough. And also, like, is he homophobic? I think he's homophobic, based on the dialogue in that movie. So, yeah, and what was I going to say about that? And it's just really awful, and it's too distracting, unfortunately. And the jokes are not good enough. Don't have the staying power good enough, except for the cow one, that lets me ride it along in a wave, so to speak.
Agreed.
It keeps distracting itself, keeps breaking apart. But what did you think of? Not to say what it is, but what did you think of the eventual twist and all that?
I like the last twist, the main twist, I guess I would say, of the movie. Mm-hmm. I like that, and I kind of didn't see it coming. But then again, they kind of hide it from us. Mm-hmm. That's not that big of a deal. I was wondering why that one thing, like the reason they find out who the person is, mm-hmm. like that scene is there. And I was like, okay, besides an obvious reference to another movie.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, it kind of worked out.
Yeah.
Overall, yeah. In a funny way. Yes. Like that was kind of funny.
Like, yes.
And then, other than that, I mean, the other twist, there wasn't really anything else. I mean, it was just like, why are you being dumber than you're supposed to be?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
You know, there's a movie, reminds me, I just thought of it. It's that movie with Will Smith, and I forgot the other actor that plays a rock monster, also like the first... like ogre to be in the police force in this future world, in this world where fantasy creatures live, like elves and fairies and stuff. Do you know that movie? It's called Bright.
Bright, yeah.
Bright. It's on Netflix. Came out late last year, I think, or early this year. It has similar quality, except that one isn't trying to be funny.
So I think there's a huge missed opportunity in this movie. Because in the beginning, they even say it, like, the reason people... like all walks of people get along here, all humans, because they have one equal person to get to dislike, and it's all the puppets.
Right.
Right? And it's easy to dislike them, so they all get along well.
It's like how the Greatest Generation is, because we all hated Nazis equally. That's why we were the nicest to each other.
Exactly.
Like
one of those things. Just like that.
Yeah.
And they never explore that.
No, they never do.
And I was like, why bring it up?
I was a little excited too. Because
why bring it up?
They have so many ways to... There's so many things. There's so much Play-Doh of ideas they could have played with, but they instead chose this much more personal, interconnected thing that we're talking that we hate about. Like, they could have done that angle. They could have focused on that. Like, it could have been like the invention of lying kind of world where everyone's stupidly cool with each other, like ridiculously cool. It's something we can't agree with, but the world is set this way. And then it could have fun that way, you know? Or it could be like a political anagram for something that you have to do that. But I'm saying you could be smarter about the world.
I just feel like it's like you bring it up for nothing.
Like, what if this is the only human killing Muppets and or this is maybe this is a Muppet, you know, like something to make the world offset.
Yeah.
Not that you have to make it world changing or anything. Just two guys.
Yeah.
Or one guy, one girl.
Right.
The movie lost a lot of opportunities, in my opinion. But anything else you want to say on Happy Time Murders or anything else you wish was better or anything you want to highlight?
There's some stuff to highlight. I don't want to be pessimistic about the whole movie because there is some interesting things that happen in the movie. Like I said, joke-wise, interesting connections that they make. I don't have a problem with that. But the thing I don't want to explain anything because then it kind of ruins some stuff. But I also feel like they went for easy jokes. That's another problem.
Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. It was
I
just
thought
like,
the same thing.
And they didn't do it like one time. They did it many times.
Yeah. Usually,
and,
like, about her like looking like a man. Remember that came up?
Okay,
it's not. She doesn't look like one. I don't know. I don't get it.
Right. And you could have, like, you can get away with one or two of those.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, after that, it just, especially if you
notice. Maybe there was only two, but I remember feeling like there was a lot more.
Well, I just think they did it multiple times, maybe. Yeah. And that's what it felt like more. But it just feels like, like too many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I still had fun. I still had fun some parts in watching the movie.
They could have fun with the film noir genre. Usually, Private Eye tend to be the central film noir.
Right, that would have been
that would have been so cool.
That would have been so cool.
Like his ex wife got killed, and that's why he stopped being a police. Like imagine a much less raunchier but still raunchy. Uh-huh. Version of this movie where it's straight up film noir.
Right. That would be so bad.
I would be all over this movie.
Yeah.
I would be all over it.
Yeah.
But I'd
forgive it a lot more.
I would do it too. I can already imagine it. It'd be cool as fuck.
Likewise.
It'd be cool as fuck. So it seems like that's our review of the film. Not to say there was anything. It's a fun time if you, I guess, turn off your brain on it. We wish it was better because we want better for you know, people like Muppet, you know, puppeteers and shit. Like, I mean, I hope this doesn't diminish their work in the future because I want them doing work. They do great puppet work.
Right.
Not to say that it's not. It's all good, guys. The technique is there. I just wish they had something solid behind it.
Agreed.
And also, like I said, Melissa McCarthy, I've always loved her. I want her to do better. So that's why we're negative overall. But it is not a terrible movie. So
agreed.
It is fun to enjoy. So that's our review of The Happy Time Murders. Hope you enjoyed it. No spoilers on this one. It's one of the rare ones we've done. We're going to take a quick break, though. When we come back, we'll review our last film of the evening, something much more serious, The Writer, which if you are not sure where to find that, you can find that on VOD now. So find it. Pause this now. Watch it. And then come back.
But not movies anywhere.
No, not movies anywhere. Stay with us. Damn.
Thank you. No more riding, no more rodeos. If you don't stop, your seizures are going to get worse.
I had to sell Gus, Brady.
You can't sell Gus.
It's not like you can ride anymore.
You seen Lane? Remember when he went 3 for 3 in McCool Junction and won it?
Yeah, that was a good night for Lane.
There you go.
After suffering a near-fatal head injury, a young cowboy undertakes a search for new identity and what it means to be a man in the heartland of America. Wow. Interesting plot synopsis. I did not know that IMDb would just say it like that. This is the writer. It's written and directed by Chloe Zhao. It's, I assume, Chinese, but I'm not 100%. And it stars Brady Jandrew, Mooney, Tim Lilly, Leroy, Cat. I mean, a lot of this. The entire movie is comprised of non-professional actors. And before, I should open it with the movie. This question: did you know that, Ralph? You just saw it an hour ago. Did you know that all the actors were non-professional actors?
No.
Okay. But did it feel that way?
I mean, they felt unknown.
They're definitely unknown, for sure.
They felt that way, but I guess a lot of them just felt like... I don't want to say camera shy, just not comfortable.
Maybe they felt like maybe not trained, camera trained.
Maybe that's the better word to use. Camera trained is prop. There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's like Steven
Soderbergh.
But
I just thought
movie.
They were just like kids acting like kids, you know?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
A lot of them are young people.
It's fine, yeah. So this movie and its cast, it feels like a Steven Soderbergh movie where, you know, not like Ocean's 11, obviously, but like more like The Bubble, okay. You know, where they use like he goes to a town to make a movie in that town and he'll use only the actors that are available to him in that town. And none of them are big time actors at all. They don't have that crazy amount of training. They don't have the makeup wherewithal. They just act themselves, essentially, some of them. So you can tell there's a different feeling for it. Not that it's bad, it's just different.
Right.
So I wanted to open it with that because the movie is going with an authenticity. It's going for that. And we'll talk more about it right now.
Well, it's interesting because you were saying the main actor is that way?
All of them are.
That's crazy.
100%.
Okay,
maybe I'm pretty sure 100% of them.
They could explain why. Okay.
Okay. Was it good? Because I'm going to open it up. What are your impressions of the writer, having you just seen that? Saw it last night.
Okay. Rough start. Slow burning movie.
The whole movie is like that. Yeah.
Very slow burning. Mm-hmm. And I could probably see them capturing a lot of footage because how do you pull emotions? How do you get all these things from these people? As normies and ask them to give you what they should give you. And
he's tiptoeing through the cable.
Oh my god! I know. Just like he's looking at me like, "Am I being quiet enough?"
Yeah, it was so adorable.
It is, but I was just like, "Just go." Anyways, so this is my son for you.
Yeah,
and it feels, but at the same time, I'm wondering now. It gives me a different perspective of the movie because. I'm wondering now, is it something that happened to them in real life already? Mm-hmm. And it's just something that you just have to pull from that, right? Or is it something that's just, you know, a scenario, you know, that's just given to them, like a script or whatever?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Slow burn movie, and I was not into it in the beginning. It was just because it was rough to watch because you're, like, watching these people, and you're just like, okay, you're just kids. And I was like, it's going to be a coming-of-age movie. I fucking know it. And I'm just like, oh, it feels like it, right?
Okay, I can see how it feels that way in the beginning, yes.
And I was just like, okay. And then I was like, okay. So there's a turning point in the movie for me where I asked myself, is this movie going to be about him dealing with his injury? Mm-hmm. And I'm not ruining anything in the movie.
It opens up with him having already had this injury.
Yeah. Is it him dealing with his injury and what he's going to do, what his life is going to be in the future, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it him overcoming his injury, mm-hmm. right? And what his life is going to be in the future, or what whatever we decide to get to watch in the foreseeable future, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is rough.
Yeah,
you have two different type of movies here.
I had another thought also that could have been an inspiring thing where he discovers he's a cowboy, by the way, so he discovers a horse that changes his outset or something,
yeah,
and decides to go farther, deeper into something he's been doing, the cowboy riding thing,
yeah,
or a different direction, maybe.
Right.
It could have been like a Black Beauty type situation with a horse changing his life, you know?
Yeah, I vaguely crossed my mind, but not really.
Yeah, I'm glad it's not that, but thank God. But
of course it is. Yeah, it isn't. But so I, because there's two different, those are two different type of movies,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering which movie I was going to get, because those are the ones I was leaning hard to, right?
Mm-hmm.
On which I was right in one of them.
What are the two types? Again, just so that I understand.
So is it the movie of him overcoming his injury,
mm-hmm.
right? And becoming, what's it called? And doing something about that, right? Like, and mm-hmm. using that injury to help, you know, help him boost himself or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or him dealing with his injury, right? And changing his world around it.
Okay.
Which we get, what's it called? Which we get one of those two, right?
Yeah, I'll be a spoiler to say which one, but yes.
Right, yeah. That's what I didn't want to say.
I know.
That being said, so I didn't know which movie I was going to get. So there's a crossing point right there where I was like, this movie's kind of tiptoeing. Which one is it going to give you?
It does, yeah.
So that's where the movie gets interesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit after that. So all that before that, kind of rough to watch because you're like, what's going on here? What am I getting? So this mm-hmm. is obviously a cowboy movie. It's about kids. Like adults are basically out of the picture.
Modern day too, by the modern way, folks. Day, it's yeah. not set in a Western old
and
thing.
I was, right, modern day, of course. Yeah. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to get from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really rough to watch. But overall, leaving the movie, there's a lot of powerful emotions going on. There's a lot of thought into what it takes to be, you know, what it takes to make these decisions, and what are you willing to do for said decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting. What is that? What's called foresight mm-hmm. to, as a young boy, a young man, to give a lot of
like,
thought.
I think it's funny because
I honestly think, as a cowboy, as him, even though he's headstrong and all the kids are,
mm-hmm.
I think because he has a lot of free time on his hand, he's able to think a lot more than we. And a normal, or not a normal, because I mean, they're normal.
I had a fleeting thought, too, halfway through the movie, when it was getting super interesting for me, is that, because of the sweet time, you just reminded me, I wonder that if the movie chose to start showing us his life after this head injury, because his life before that was a very boring, atypical alpha male douche. Or something. I'm not saying he was.
Yeah.
He seems like a good person.
He seems like a good person, yeah.
I'm not saying he wasn't before that. You can be a good person and be a cowboy, but maybe he was too naive about things and annoyingly so.
Right.
Maybe. The movie chose the right time for him to be interesting.
Yeah, I think the movie does a really good part where it gives you... That's exactly a good thing, where it's almost like he's switching from his youth to being mature.
Mm-hmm.
It's like weird.
Yes.
And you're seeing that happen. Which is really cool.
Yeah, it's almost like more adult version of coming of age, because it isn't. He's already identified himself. That's what coming of age generally is.
Right.
This is something deeper. This is responsibility. This is other things.
This is
growing the fuck up differently. Like yeah. it's not. Yeah.
So that's a lot to explain in my end.
Mm-hmm.
But I just saw this movie and I'm unpacking it still.
Yeah, it's definitely yeah. I haven't had
much time to ponder on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had enough. I was obviously thinking of all this while the movie's going.
Yeah,
which is usually what I do anyway. So
yeah, I hear you. No,
so
I mean,
Oscar, go ahead.
The 24 hours I've had with this extra have helped because I have been thinking about it here and there throughout my errands today or whatever, or when I was editing another podcast. And it's a powerful movie. And by the end, I was all in on it, on this movie, whatever it chose to do. So that's a good sign. I do recommend this movie highly for virtually anyone that isn't just looking for a laugh or an action scene. The movie is beautiful. It is, I'm not going to say something stupid like it's simplistic or anything like that. It's low budget, but they managed to pull off amazing visuals. obviously on horseback, sunsets, the planes. Great stuff going on in this movie, visually speaking. And the non-professional acting, I think, does add an element of almost like ultra-real thing, where like these people are having interactions that they themselves look comfortable in. These actors are comfortable with each other, but maybe the camera doesn't quite know what to do with it. It's almost like my eye and most moviegoers, our eyes are trained to get used to something.
Yeah.
And this movie's showing us what non-professional actors that are comfortable with each other, but not comfortable with you as a movie watcher, how do they function? And this movie does a good job of showing us what that weird duality is. And I think it does a good job. I'm going to say the thing I told you before we start recording, Ralph, that there's one key element I haven't told you. I'm going to tell you about it right now, and I think the audience should know now. I was going to save it for spoilers, but I'm thinking in order to maybe help people get into this movie, because this movie is not super popular. With critics, it is. Super popular with critics. That's partly why I chose it, because everyone was raving about it and all the readings and stuff, so I purposely like stopped reading stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to watch it when it comes out. And that is that on top of these people, all these people being non-professional actors, all these people are playing themselves. That is really his sister. That is really his father.
I got that much from...
That is really his best friend. That is really his...
Okay, I got that much from the credits.
Yes, so you did see the credits.
I did see the credits.
I purposely didn't say their last names other than his.
Yeah, they only changed the last names, I think.
They all have the same last names. No, that the paraplegic guy is the same name.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying the main guys have the same.
Oh yeah, Blackburn.
Blackburn is not the name. It's Jandro, yeah.
That's really his dad. He is conversing with. He was a cowboy. That is his home for the most part.
Yeah.
This is almost a retelling documentary. It's a half documentary movie, and that's why it's so bizarre to really unpack. Because. Or probably why it's also getting a lot of acclaim is because the movie works as both things. The movie is like an experimental documentary. And not to say that this is the first of its kind. There's been others like it. There's some strange ones out there, like Exit to the Gift Shop.
Yeah, but how do you recapture that? Like, that's what's interesting.
Well, the thing is that we say, how do you recapture it? But this movie does it.
Right.
Right?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say is like that question I was asking is like, how do you... And I get it. We do it in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how do you recapture? What did you have to do in the movie? So I guess that's what I'm asking. For the movies to happen, how do you recapture emotions that you've already gone through like that?
I this is one of the very few movies I want to know as much as possible how they made it.
Yeah.
I want to know if she sat down with him and did they recount his life that led to the moment of the scene that she needs the emotion for? Did she just ask him, I want you to play yourself, and the guy just turned out to be a good fucking actor who can emote based on his own life experience? Because if anything, like, you would rarely think that, because if someone was making a movie about me, I wouldn't cast myself, okay? Even though it's my life and I understand it more than anyone else, I doubt I would cast myself because how it would look. But is this director, Chloe Zhao, did she luck out on this subject? And this guy also can emote the very actions and feelings that he must have had before?
It's hard. You know, the way you're saying it is harder than the way it's happened.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a difference if I'm making the movie about you, mm-hmm. and I cast yourself.
Yeah.
And I can be like, no, that's not how you are.
Right.
You need to be this way.
Okay.
Right? There's a difference because I think we put our own thought in. Like, this is – we think different of how – we see ourselves different in how other people see us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I could imagine that maybe you see me as a loving brother or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in my eyes, I'd be like, well, I'm an asshole to him all the time.
Right.
So like, I can only see myself through whatever I think I portray to you, right? But if I think I portray myself, that you're like, no, it's not how you act.
But I don't feel like this movie's doing that even necessarily.
What I'm trying to say is that that's the way you would do it if you were casting yourself in this.
Well, it's just hard for me to imagine.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
By her doing it, you'd have to micromanage. It sounds so much micromanaging.
No, you're right. I'm not saying that she had to do it that way, but obviously that's my first go-to. That's not my extreme, I guess. But what I'm saying, but she manages to do an overall bird's-eye view of this man's life. It isn't it is narrow to his, obviously it's about him and his life and through his eyes, but it isn't selfishly his. Like I'm saying, like the movie is subjective. The camera is not necessarily his friend. It wants him, the camera will wait for him to realize something. We'll wait for him to do that whistle later on. And we'll wait for him to make a decision, which we'll get to at the end. Another decision is like it. You know, like it doesn't, it's not on his side. Or maybe it is, but like it isn't giving us his interpretation of his life.
Sure.
It's giving us just what his life was.
Yeah.
And it's a confusing, there's a difference, but it feels really good, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
No.
Okay. Complicated movie to talk about, but a lot of people, I definitely want to read more on this actor person.
Is there a book or something? Did he write a book? Maybe. Is there a story, a news clipping article?
Maybe there is. I think, don't quote me on this because, like I said, I did read up a little bit on this movie, but when people were talking about it, like on podcasts, and I just like stopped it. Like, okay, good. I want to know more. I want to see it. I heard mention of that this woman, this filmmaker, Chloe, went down there to what state are they in? I forget what
South
state.
Dakota. I think.
South Dakota, sure. They go down there. She meets this one completely fascinating subject. Maybe sets off to do a documentary, but realizes that the events that she would like to document have passed, and she decides to make a narrative out of it.
It's interesting.
I think that's what.
And how do you pull everybody in?
Yeah, I mean, they must have just been okay with it, and obviously. I mean, for all I know, there are maybe the mother character was written off because she didn't want to do it. You know what I mean? Maybe she was always there. I don't know. Or so many, obviously, so many elements we don't know. But I'm curious what they had to change. But whatever it is, it worked for me. And it's fascinating to think about. That's why I really like this movie and why people are loving it, because just the mind juggling you can do of how this movie managed to get a, you know, like a diamond in the rough kind of thing. You know, managed to be so great out of that. Yes, Leo? No. Anyway, should we get into spoilers? I think we want to. Okay. So again, just spoilers for the writer. We highly recommend it.
Whoa.
I was going to say at least I did. But
okay, at least you do.
Do you?
I recommend it. Okay. I don't highly recommend it.
Okay.
I think there's still a limited audience for this movie.
Oh, no. I don't care about the limited audience. I am saying I highly recommend it because I loved it. I'm not saying I highly recommend it because most people won't like it. I already know most people don't like what I like, obviously.
Yeah.
But if I can get people to watch it and then have them see something way different, but also great.
Yeah.
That's worth fibbing a bit by saying everyone should watch it. Obviously, not everyone should watch it. You know what I'm saying? Okay, but that's... anyway, we're going to get to spoilers for the writer starting right now.
Sometimes dreams aren't meant to be.
Who's this?
That's Apollo.
Wow, that's amazing. A horse that never had nobody on his back before.
Where are you going with that?
I'm going to the rodeo.
You don't need to go ride today.
I'm entered and I'm riding.
Go kill yourself then.
It's too bad your mom ain't here. You and her could be stubborn together.
I believe God gives each of us a purpose. For the horse is to run across the prairie. For a cowboy, it's to ride.
Another key element for this movie for me that I really loved is that this... what's his name again? It's like Brad, I think.
Brady.
That's right. Brad with a Y. Brady's life is, at this time, this current chapter of his life is riddled with past and future constantly in his face. You see futures of him from his dad. You know, he doesn't want to be like him, meaning the pushy dad he must have been, the dad that would push him to be the alpha one. And then in this time when we see him, the opposite of, you know, like, what, are you going to kill yourself out there and all that stuff? And you see him with his best friend, the much better bronc rider that is paraplegic and can't walk with himself. And he goes visits, like, every day, I think, or often.
Quite often.
Quite often. You know, those are his futures in a way. And you can see that even though it isn't at the beginning of the movie, that by the end of it, they are actually reminding him of what kind of future he could have. And you see that, and you see about same thing in the past. You think of, you know, because my first thought when I first saw this movie, when I started watching it, this is before I this is because at the time I didn't remember that these people are based on the real lives and all that. So I forgot that I was thinking, like, why did they have to have a sister that is, she has something. No, is it autism? Maybe. No, not autism.
I don't know what it is, but yeah.
But it's something.
There's something, yeah.
It's something. She's like 15, but acts younger, I think. And I'm not 100%. I'm not a doctor. And I was like, I hate when movies do that sometimes. Sometimes they'll put in like a, they'll have like a blind kid, right, to be the son or whatever. I'm like, why did they have to add that extra layer? Is it important? And I was thinking, in this case, my first thought was that same thing. Like, why did they have to have this thing, like, to make us more sympathy for the guy? I hate when people do that, when movies do that so blatantly, because I'm like, they're trying to jerk some sympathy out of me by force, and I don't like it. But in this case, that's his sister. I can't, like, that is his reality is this, is in addition to it. So I really couldn't fault the movie at all for that. But I think of all these things, and there are constant reminders of what he should do or shouldn't do. And which culminates to that ultimate decision. And obviously the thing with the horse, you know, this is the year of the horse, by the way. There's the writer. There's a movie called Lean on Pete, which is another different type of horse movie entirely. It's about this boy who falls in love with a horse kind of thing, I think. And then there's that show Godless. Have you seen Godless yet?
No.
It's on Netflix. They spend like a lot of time like training horses and the majesty of horses and send the old west and stuff. It's like the year of the horse for that kind of stuff. Do you agree with that? These all these things like are working to make his decision solid, so to speak. Like all these things in his life right now, his friend, the horse, Apollo, right? That whole thing with Apollo, his dad, his sister, all these things, the injury is, I think you're right when you said earlier is that the injury gave him room to think, you know, maybe even working at that Walmart or whatever it was.
Well, I just think his life setting gives him room to think.
Yeah.
I think in a world, in his world, where there is, you know, his job or whatever has to do with, yeah, he works at a grocery store or whatever, but his job is just dealing with horses and animals, having to do kind of just, you know, grunt labor around the house and making sure things are taken care of, or just giving yourself time to not be surrounded by, you know, noise or drowned by noise, like in a major metropolitan city, for example.
Yeah.
And there's always something that there's, oh, your friends are doing this and this and that, you're going here, you gotta go do this and there's this, and you can be surrounded or drowned by it. And I think him kind of living in this in this typically quiet place where you can just, you go out to do things, and you know, a lot of your time is just spending out to do, you know, either you hone your skill or you work. You have a lot of time, a lot of free time to think.
I think you're right. I think that all lends a big part of why he does certain things, like why Apollo probably hurts him a lot more. I think a previous version of Brady would have shot Apollo, not I'm saying with cold malice or anything like that, he would be very sad about it, but I think he'd be able to do it. And Apollo being an amalgamation, basically a complete, Apollo is him in an animal form. He's injured, he can't do what he's supposed to do. He even says it, I think, in the movie. But I saw it right away when it happened, you know, Apollo's leg with the barbed wire. He couldn't shoot Apollo because he'd have to shoot himself. It's essentially what it is. And I felt that in the moment. And I almost could feel his thinking before, right when he whistled, right? So his dad could shoot him.
Yeah.
Which I understand why he asked him to do that. I assume it's because to get the attention of the animal to distract him. I don't know why. Or maybe, I don't know why he asked him to do that. But it was very cinematic. I'm sure there's a reason. But also I was thinking of that scene when he takes his sister to that bar. Or is it a bar? I think it's a bar. with
it
his
looked,
friends.
It looked like a bar, yeah.
It looked like a bar. With his friends and stuff. And there are other scenes with his friends.
Yeah.
But that's the main one I was thinking of it. I was like, that was him in the past. The way they're acting is how he must have been acting. And that's another frame of like, that life is going to be gone. In this case, probably for better. But for him, it feels for worse at times. And that's why probably he lashes out with that kid, the younger kid, who he wrestles with.
Yeah.
Later on. And I think it's him lashing out on that. And being stubborn, like his dad is always saying, you're so stubborn like your mother and all this stuff. Always stubborn, always stubborn.
Yeah.
So by the time that the end, he decides to go to the rodeo and saying, fuck it, you know, because he's been to a doctor and he said, can't ride no more, man. He even tries to like fake ride that one thing. It's not even a real horse and he still gets that epileptic hand holding thing, clenching. So when he decides to go there, I'm thinking, oh my God, am I watching a horse version of The Wrestler? Yeah. I was thinking like, oh no, movie, don't break my heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We know how this ends. We know how this movie ends if he does this.
Right. And I was...
Like the movie literally telling him, like the whole movie is telling him, like everything's telling him, like you continue, you're pursuing this down this path. No. You got lucky once. It's almost like, listen, I'm giving you this as a warning.
Yeah.
Don't do it again.
Yeah.
And then he does it again.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, he kind of like messes around with it a little bit.
Yeah. He does like fiddle with like, he'll train a horse.
Right.
For a while, but then when he has to climb it.
Remember the horse hits him in the head?
Yeah.
And then you're like, you're tempting fate again.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I know you're really good at this. And his dad tells him the line that you're good at this, but you can't. Like sometimes it's not meant to be.
That's what the movie spends 5 minutes in training that one other horse.
You're not meant to do what your dream job is or what your, you know.
Which is a sucky, horrible thing to like realize. Maybe more so at that age, especially when you were on your way up there. Like you were under knowledgeable person of the very thing that you want to be, right? You are like he was doing the things he was dreaming about. His dreams. And his life were the same thing. Yeah. It wasn't a fantasy. You know, to be taken away from that and telling you, you can't do that or you will die. And then so when he decides to go to that fucking rodeo at the end, for a good... I mean, this is why I think Brady... I forgot his real last name. Brady, the actor, is really good. And I think he is good enough to be as good as any actor doing any single piece because he manages to... not give me an answer until the very end. He manages to sometimes in the moment convince me that he's going to fucking do it and other times that he looks like he's hesitating and he's not going to do it. But not hesitating in a bad way. Sometimes he's hesitating because he's afraid of death, which is a normal thing to fear. But another way is like he's hesitating because he wants to live. He wants to choose life over this thing. But other times he was in his face. I could feel it. Like at least I could. And maybe in his eyes. That he wanted to go through with it and fucking damn it all. His stubbornness be damned, you know?
Yeah.
And like, can I even blame a person going down for what they love to do? I know that's like a hokey, poetic thing, but life should be more important than that. But, you know, also movies romanticize that. So, like,
but is it? But is it? Is it also, isn't it also what you, like, that's what he lives for? So he's technically choosing almost death in a way, right?
That's what he tells his sister after Apollo gets shot, right?
Yeah, he like almost chooses death in a way by letting his dreams die,
mm-hmm.
And choosing to live on,
mm-hmm.
by not doing the thing he kind of lived for.
Yeah.
So
it really depends because like it's
now the choices he made is obviously the choices he made was to be there for his best friend and his sister. Is that he's the one thing that's not keeping them afloat, but...
I think he was at one point, for sure. He's keeping the whole... Because I think his dad owed rent
sister,
and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If not his sister, for sure, his best friend is, you know, he's there to always support his best friend.
Yes. Yes, I mean, it's more than a friend. It's more than a...
I mean, it's almost like his brother.
It is like a brother. It's like a confidant, partner, all that stuff, and mentor too. Even though they're roughly the same age, the other guy's slightly older. That's probably why he was his mentor or whatever. So that makes sense. And it's really powerful, this sense of like you're getting a sense of his life through the eyes of a person that has to get out of it. It's like I've never understood rodeos or cowboys, modern day versions, obviously, sure. In any other movie more than this one. This one, I think, does a greater depiction of putting us in the shoes of the mindset of that kind of person. Because he has to let go of it. Because he's forced out. I think that's where the real human drama comes in. The movie almost works itself. Like, not to say that there isn't a plot, but you don't even need it in this movie. It's almost seamless in that way. Or the movie makes it look seamless anyway.
Sure.
We were talking about before of how can you make this movie human possible. But yeah, I'm sure it's a lot harder than it was. I don't know. But they make it look seamless. And it's wonderful to think about. And I don't have all the answers either. But I love thinking of the complexity of this young boy's mental responsibility, what he's thinking about, you know.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. And no one's perfect. He's by far not. No one is around him. Everyone has their own little agencies and their own things. Like that friend of his that seemingly was on his side. He's always on his side, right? He's his buddy, right? The tattoo guy.
Yeah.
Try to stop him, though.
Yeah, he sort of tries at one point.
And he warns him.
Yeah, it's more like you, my thought is you shouldn't do this. And that's what basically he says. And he's like, okay, but I need to do it. And he's like, all right, well I'll do whatever you want to do. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't really tell. He doesn't really force his hand more than he needs to.
I know.
When he should be the friend who'd be like.
Especially at the end there. Hey. You saw him there.
Yeah, especially at the end. And at the end, obviously, when he says the whole, like, you know, like, go get him, partner, and, like, mm-hmm. of course, cowboy, and he walks away. That's, like, his friend looks at him like, you made the right decision.
Yes.
He gives him, like, yeah, you made the right decision, and I understand why you're stepping away, and I'll never...
judge you for it.
I'll never judge you. I'll never be the guy who tells you, like, man, you really let that one go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he gives him the look like, I understand what you're doing, and I completely understand that this is what you need to do.
Yeah, I think his friend is like the third act of the pressure that must be of this world wanting him to continue to ride horses. Right. The first one is you get that guy at the Walmart or whatever, Jewel, that says like, oh man, I hope you feel heal up and get out there. You know, he's encouraging him to get back out there. You're gonna go back out there, right? You're not gonna be working here, right? Remember that guy, that fan or pseudo friend? We just see him that one time
at the register, right?
Yeah, at the register.
So that guy is what he ends up telling, because I just saw the movie. Ends up more like he almost looks down on him for being at the grocery store.
Yeah,
and not doing what he should be doing.
It feels that way. Yes.
Yeah, it gives him that feeling of like. Like, why are you here? Like, you're not going to ride anymore? Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're throwing away your life kind of thing like that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like almost a conversation he has with him. He's like, nah, man, I'm just here until the meantime. But, you know, I got to pay the bills. And he's like,
right.
Oh, okay. All right. I can see that, you know, like, and that's how they leave it at.
Yeah.
So.
But the second one is actually probably harder to get past is that little boy that asked for his autograph.
Yeah.
And Adriano, I think I just saw it with you too at the end. So, yeah. And it's. You could see he, obviously, who wouldn't love that? But he has he wants to respect that boy. He wants to, you know, mentor him or encourage him or, you know, and, you know, embolden that kid to be what he wants to be if he wants to be the same as him. So, yeah, and then the third that stage is this friend thing, which is almost like, I feel like it's like a cocoon or a chrysalis, you know. In order for a butterfly to be a butterfly, it's in its chrysalis caterpillar form, right?
Yeah.
They have to go through that whole thing. If you help them go through that tube, whatever they fucking call it, to pop out,
yeah.
They come out weaker and they die faster. It's almost like the universe is trying to get him to do that. It's like he had to realize and make the decision himself. If he was forced out, don't get me wrong, I might have been that. If I was his friend, I probably would have stopped him by force, had he not. But like, how long do you wait for him to make the right decision, the more healthier decision, in order for him to be that amazing human butterfly,
yeah.
Before it's too late? At what point do you say, okay, you're going too far now, I'm going to pull you out? It's almost like the movie and the universe is working him to make that decision so he can blossom better in a weird way, because he has so many outs and ins, and people are telling him two different, like personal, the people closest around him are essentially telling him to not do it.
Yeah, what's funny is that the main person, I would say, is his best friend. That's, like, the reason you shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. It's literally, this is the outcome, right? This is the outcome if you continue down this path, right?
Yeah.
And he avoids seeing his friend after the injury for quite some time until later because he doesn't want to go to him for the reason of the fact that I think it's like it's too hard to face someone where we are could have been in the same spot. We could both be in this. We could both be roommates here, you know, for what's it called, for the injuries that we have suffered. Or worse, I could be a not paraplegic, but like a vegetable, in a coma, whatever, or dead, right?
Yeah.
So he kind of avoids seeing them because he doesn't want to have to deal with coming to reality of that scenario.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
No.
He doesn't like, and him forcing himself to see his friend helps him make the decision that he ends up making.
And also, it also shows his very, like, he has a strong character, like a good person character, that yeah. he does it, though, that he's there. That he, when he says that guy's a mentor, he means it, capital M, you know?
Yeah.
And it's it makes you really fall for his character deeper when, and you don't, that's where I think the tension, the real drama, the culmination of the whole thing is at the end when, right before he decides whether or not to get on that horse. Is extremely important because all the stakes are there.
Right.
The stakes are just as important as the world dying from a nuclear or whatever, you know what I'm saying, in a different movie. Like, it feels just as powerful because of all these things he was doing and because of the type of person he is.
Right.
I'm glad he chose right, though. I'm glad the movie, well, obviously the actor is still alive, so maybe that's clearly reflective, probably. But I'm glad the movie earned that ending of him going back to his family instead and not turning back.
Yeah.
Right. Anything else you want to say on this movie, and anything?
Well, it does give you a different outlook, knowing said facts. So I saw the beginning, like 20-30 minutes with Luke. You missed him right before you got here.
Oh, I didn't know he was right here.
Cool. He was here for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And he was not digging what we were watching, FYI. But I think had you known this little caveat, I think you'd be definitely piqued interest.
You think it would have? If you told him before then?
I think it would have.
I almost did tell him, but like I shouldn't have to tell him that kind of thing for him to watch a movie. Right. It's his loss as far as I'm concerned. That's okay. You know, it's fine. But that is, unless you have anything else, that is our review of The Writer. I probably would have more thoughts later. Right now, it's definitely somewhere in my top 10. I don't know where. But hopefully we'll have more time to discuss it, especially if I have more time to think about the movie. But that is our review of Top 10 of fucking Christ. Of The Writer, Jesus. And that is it for our show. So you have been listening to another movie podcast. Thank you so much, by the way. If you want for other people to find us on iTunes and all those places, please give us a ratings on iTunes. That's the best way that these algorithms give out to other people, and therefore they can find us. For feedback, you can send it to podmoviecast@gmail.com. We'd love to know your thoughts on The Writer and The Happy Time Murders and Mile 22 and any other movie we'll review or anything we ever talk about. I would love to hear about it. We'll even read it on the show if it'll spark a discussion. For me personally, you can find my movie-watching habits and my Twitter are both the same name. It's Armin Filmmaker, which is Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ralph, how about you?
You could follow me on Twitter @GamerRalph. That is with two R's and an F.
And two little announcements here at the end. One of them is unfortunate. I don't think we have the next roster for movies yet, right? Because
Luke, I don't think so,
was supposed to choose them. He is back from his job. Or his temp, you know, the job that lets him outside of the city. So he's back for now. He's back home for a while. I don't know how long, but he's supposed to pick the next movies. I don't know how it's going to work out yet. I may choose him or Rob may choose him. I chose this one, so you probably should choose next.
Probably.
So TBD on that. But also, the other one is that we're going to start a new marathon very soon. And I still want to have a larger discussion of the old marathon we had when the three of us are together, probably the next show. So stay tuned for that. And until then, everyone, I am Oscar.
And Ralph.
See you later.
Arrivederci! We'll meet again!
Do a thing.
Bark, 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 bark.
Bark, 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 bark.
Bark, 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 bark.
Bog, 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 bog. Bog, bog, bog. Bog, bog, bog. Okay, it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that as a chicken or a rooster. Nope, it's hard to do that part.
I'm here all day.
Barbara Ann. You know, every once in a while we do a Barbara Ann thing on the when we test audio.
What?
Like every 15 shows we do a Barbara Ann thing.
It's a catchy tune.
I know, but I'm saying like it's like almost like clockwork.
Barbara Ann.
Are you doing Star Trek?
It take my hand.
Are you doing Shatner? What are you doing? Yeah, it's pretty good. I'll just mention at the top about the AC because it is soundy. Actually, what if?